Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 7, where we discuss the happening issues in the Symbian world. And it's now 2008, so it's Happy New Year from me, Rafe Blanford.
From me, Ewan Spence.
And from me, Steve Litchfield.
Thanks, guys. I hope you all had a happy Christmas and I'm looking forward to the new year. I know I am. But before we get on to 2008, I wanted to ask you about what your highlight of 2007 was, because I know a lot has happened in the last year and we've been very busy both on the site and the Symbian world's been going places. But is there any one particular thing that you'll pick out from 2007, Steve?
A lot of the tech blogs and tech sites out there had the same idea of looking back in 2007, and almost without exception they've chosen the Apple iPhone. And of course that's not a Symbian device, so I haven't got that option. But and leaving aside its game-changing attributes, I think the highlight for me really was the Nokia N95 in the public consciousness, which sounds a bit strange because it was announced back in 2006. But we started to get samples early 2007, then you had the N95 8GB launched in the latter half of this year. And it's been an evolution, really. Rather than one single bam, this is the highlight, I think Nokia's attention to detail in upgrading the firmware of the N95 and then the 8GB model recently, and there's this constant evolution and improvement and improvement and listening to public feedback and improving it again. I think just Nokia have got this one model really right. And if you look across the high street and look at what phones people use in the real world, the N95 is a top-end flagship Symbian smartphone, is being used by Uncle Tom Cobley and all in WH Smith's in your local town. And that's a bit of a triumph for Nokia, considering the relative failure of things like Windows Mobile stats-wise in terms of sheer sales numbers across the world. Nokia, by going pushing smartphones through the quote phone route, through the high street shops and through the network operators, they've managed to get a very top-end smartphone into very high profile and high user number places. So the N95, I would say, throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. What's really struck me about the N95, how it's almost been a breakout device for smartphones just in general. People don't necessarily think of it as a smartphone, but they're actually using it for things that more than just a traditional phone. You know, obviously the camera's very strong on it, but I've seen them using it for music and other bits and pieces. And I don't think that's something I've seen, sort of not in the mass market in the way that N95 is. And just as you say, the consciousness, you see a lot of N95s about now. And I think that's something really that I just haven't seen on any other device in the Symbian world, or indeed anywhere else. And it's something that sort of brought it to the public awareness. And, you know, picking out one thing from the year, I think that's an absolutely great point. Ewan, have you got a particular highlight from 2007?
It's a quiet highlight, and it's the Sony Ericsson and Motorola pitching in to go 50-50 with UIQ. You know, UIQ and the Sony Ericsson and Motorola devices that have been running it have had a pretty rough 2007.
And they've been in the shade by S60 over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, if you take Nokia out of the equation, they've done very well. They've had some good, solid smartphones out there. There is some good recognition of them, especially of the Motorola Slider phones. But what was delightful for me to see was that this deal, it's almost like finally Symbian has got that foothold in America. And when I was over at CTIA Wireless at the end of September, start of October, this was just after the announcement had been made, and the American developers had suddenly got the buzz of there's this UIQ thing, there's these smartphones, you can get access to GPS, to cameras, to location, to, you know, a proper computer. And it seems to me that the highlight of 2007 is that sort of beachhead, that little flag in the sand that I think that Sony Ericsson and Motorola are going to start exploiting the US market, possibly through the gray market imports for the first half of the year. But I think we're going to see an American specific UIQ device around about Q3 2008, and all of that has been built up from all the sort of backroom maneuverings that have been done through 2007. So my highlight's not had a great big highlighter pen on it. It's one of those footnotes of history, you know, but it's one of those ones that goes, this Adolf bloke might make a good leader.
Yeah, so you're sort of saying it's a necessary build-up before the storm.
Yes.
If we looked at the UIQ position this time last year, it was, I mean, let's face it, was in a pretty unhealthy position. It was sort of starved of investment under Symbian's ownership, and that changed at around 3GSM when the announcement was actually formalised and Sony Ericsson took over UIQ. But that was never going to be quite enough because Sony Ericsson, you know, doesn't have the pulling power of, say, Nokia or even indeed Motorola in terms of its position in the market. You know, it's well-respected.
Sony Ericsson's strength has always been in the regular Walkman phones, you know, the W300s and 400s. So, you know, right at the start of 2007, sneaking occasionally to 2006, was the W950, the UIQ-powered Walkman phone. And that got very good reviews. That was, you know, very well compared to other music devices at the time. Now, the 960 is doing the rounds and it's on its way out at some point in Q1. And that's going to be interesting to see the reaction we get from that. And it'll also be interesting to see if it gets pushed in America. Personally, I think it will stay as a grey import. You'll have to buy it yourself and get it over there. But I think that we'll see a lot of developers buy that phone.
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly one to watch. It's not quite there yet, but I think it would only be a healthy thing if that sort of thing develops. And I guess we can talk about that a little bit more when we do our prediction section of this insight. In terms of me, the highlight for me in 2007 really has to be Nokia's Ovi platform announcement. Ovi platform. Thank you, Steve. and what strikes me about Ovi is it's actually similar to what Ewan was saying about UIQ. The groundwork's being laid. There isn't really all that much there. I mean, yes, Nokia Maps has been released and the music store is available in the UK, but the promise is what's ahead. But Nokia, I think, are doing the biggest ever strategic change since they went into mobile phones with Ovi, creating this software and service platform. And I've thought for quite a while, this is where mobile needs to go in terms of get this mass market usage. The idea of the computer in every pocket, which was originally envisioned by Sign, I think is coming true with this sort of thing in a much more consumer mass market way. And Ovi is so exciting in some of the things that it's going to enable. And it really is going to take phones beyond the traditional space of making calls and sending text messages, of communicating. And I think it ties in very much with the sort of the rise of the web as well. And we've seen that happen in the last few years. And the internet's come out of literally nowhere in the last decade or so. But it hasn't really delivered that promise onto mobile yet. So what excites me about Ovi, is that it will marry those two together. And we don't yet necessarily know which directions that's going to go, but I think it will provide a much more personalised experience. And looking, if we're looking much further forward, I think that's the way technology trends are going in terms of things. You know, we'll look back on the era of the PC and the internet as something that was a step on the way towards the ubiquitous nature of mobility in your pocket. Maybe I'm overplaying it here, but I do feel the idea of having sort of this access all the time wherever you are, and the sort of services built in as well, so things like the maps, things like the music store, and what may come in the future in terms of the websites both on the mobile and the PC, and I think that has enormous significance for the way we'll sort of live our digital lives in the next decade. So for me, that one announcement back in August at the Go Play event was easily the most significant of the year, and I think we'll be talking about it for years to come in terms of that was the first step on the road of, in terms of formal announcement. I do think it's going to take a while to come to fruition, but for my money, Ovi was easily the most significant thing in 2007. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty much on the ball. I mean, Ovi's, you know, it's a sevenfold plank, and we're really seeing each plank one at a time. Mapping was a strong one. It was something that was picked up in the reviews of the N95 as being, that's an important element. And this was before Ovi was announced, so the groundwork had already been put in there. You know, the music store announcement, and I think this is one to talk about when we come on to the predictions, but the music store announcement from Nokia World, the simple fact of, you know, 1 year's worth of as much music as you can download. As I said when at the time, if that had been Steve Jobs announcing that, angels would have descended from heaven and bathed the world in a golden glow. As it was, you know, Nokia's doing this, quite impressive, kind of muted that announcement, but that's big.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And how about you, Steve?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I still retain an element of caution regarding Ovi, and because all these services, these Web 2.0 so-called services, mapping and gaming and pictures and social networking, they all exist at the moment, and Nokia are kind of coming late to the party. And I do believe that they've got the vision to pull it all together and the muscle to pull it all together. I'm just a note of caution until I see it all happening in the real world with significant user numbers, keeping the inertia going.
Oh, absolutely. The reality could be very different. It's going to be, I think, probably the biggest struggle in terms of implementation for Nokia. In some ways, I think it's harder than moving into mobile phones, because that was a relatively young industry. And as you quite rightly say, there's a very big pre-existing element. I mean, I suppose what's important here is we don't yet realize some of the things that will exist, the things that can be done. I mean, mapping on a mobile device, you can get quite intelligent in terms of finding things, and we're only really seeing the first stages of that. But I think what's important, as much as anything, and this is kind of the thing I probably missed out the first time round, is what it really does for me is it enables it for the mass market. It makes it easy to use, and that's what things like the Ovi web portal will do in terms of linking in with some of your existing web services or photos or getting stuff onto or off the device. And the trouble is with mobile phone services at the moment, beyond basic texting and calling, is they are quite difficult to use. And I'm sure this is your experience when talking to sort of people who aren't so technically literate as yourselves, that people find it difficult to use the more advanced features on mobile. And a lot of that's about how it's presented and the usability. So I'm hoping that Ovi will help to address some of that, because it will sort of create a doorway, if you like, to all these other things. Of course, designing it properly and making sure the user experience is going to be extremely difficult. But just as a general thing, Ewan, do you think 2007 has been an exciting year for sort of mobile in general? And do you expect 2008 to live up to it?
I think 2007 has been a wonderful year. 2007, if you had to sum it all up in one sentence, it was smartphones became something the public knew about. Now, part of that is the N95. A lot of that is the fact that Apple decided to enter in the market. I always find it amazing, because Apple, it seems to me, were forced into the phone market by the stock market and fiduciary responsibility. They couldn't carry on not having a smartphone multifunction device and be able to justify it to the shareholders. So they had to launch something. You know, people in Europe, hold on, it's missing this, it's missing that, it's missing this, you can't put your own SIM card in it, you can't even use an AT&T SIM card from another AT&T account, it has to be the SIM card provided by Apple. There's so much wrong with it from a European smartphone point of view. But America hadn't really had a smartphone before. You know, the closest they had was the original Nokia 9000 communicator. And whenever that appeared in the movies, people held it the wrong way around. So they didn't quite get it. And then the iPhone comes along and says, look, your phone can do more. And much as in my mind it's very much an upgun feature phone as opposed to a smartphone, it has opened the door. It's never going to sell in large volume. But it will always drive a huge amount of press. And Nokia did exactly the correct thing. They didn't try and beat the iPhone. What they said was, look at the N95 and the iPhone side by side. Nokia did the classic underdog approach to marketing, which was market themselves to make sure they're always compared to the big guy. And Apple, in this sense, were the big guy. Nokia played it perfectly, and that led to that N95 and the public consciousness we talked about earlier.
That's absolutely. And Steve, 2007, would you agree it's been sort of a breakout year for open software platform phones? You've been working in this industry for a long time. Do you think there's more public awareness of what you do now than ever before?
Yes, I do, and I absolutely agree with most of what Ewan just said there. And look, we're about to launch into our own predictions for 2008. I think this is probably as good a point as any to make that link. 2007 was very much this game-changing thing with Apple breaking into the market at the same time that Nokia produced this phone, which basically did everything anyone would ever want, and the two then being kept in high profile by every bit of media across the world, quite rightly so. 2008 sees the next round, if you like, of that huge fight, and it will be just as high profile fight with the iPhone. I'm sure next week the Macworld 2008, and Apple will announce their plans for iPhone 2 or iPhone 3.
I'm going to call you on that, Steve. I'm going to call you on that. I don't think they will. I'm going to get egg on my face now. I think that everything's going to. I think everything's going to be around a 10-inch MacBook Pro. Me going to call it a PowerBook shows how old I am. I think they'll do iPhone's done wonderful sales. We're very happy with it, and it's making inroads into Europe, and we'll be announcing more partners soon. This is not going to be an iPhone MacBook. I think this is going to be an iBook MacBook Pro 10-inch ultra-portable. What we might see is a tablet PC-style device from Apple that's based around the multi-touch that the iPhone has, but it will be a MacBook tablet. I don't think we'll see anything from the iPhone.
Okay, well, whether or not it gets announced at Macworld next week, at some point, surely Apple Absolutely. In 2008 will bring out a 3G-compatible iPhone, at which point it will then compete rather more head-to-head with the likes of the Nokia N series, and at that point I think we'll have a battle royal, because by that time, mid-year, the scheduled time for the S60 Touch devices to arrive. Now, I'm not sure whether that means an announcement of an actual device with the real devices coming along at Christmas time, or whether we actually see a device in the flesh for us to play with. But 2008 I see very much as the next round, the next battle between these two very high profile consumer platforms. And now Nokia's one is very much unknown, but they are building on the huge inertia in their N series, selling tens of millions of smartphones. They've got a lot of software expertise there, a lot of software inertia. And of course, these new devices will be backwards compatible, which is very important to stress. So all of a sudden, by the mid-year towards the end of the year, you're going to have Nokia S60 touch-based devices that will compete with the Apple iPhone in terms of usability head-on, and will have all this the hardware maturity and functionality, GPS, high megapixel cameras, professional optics, and the S60 application base, at which point I think Nokia has the potential to have a real mass market killer here. It remains to be seen how well they do S60 Touch, and that's something I'm just longing to see how well they do or how badly they do, and to be there to comment on it. I think it'll be a battle royal, and I'm very much looking forward to the whatever Apple do with their iPhone as well. We've got regular readers on AAS may know that we've got Matt Radford, who's another forum regular who's taking on a bit of more of an editorial role and supplying some features. Hopefully in the new year, well, we are in the new year, in the next few months, talking about integration between Apple Macs and Nokia N series. And of course, he's going to be the point man again and comparing exactly how the Symbian OS-based phones compare with whatever happens on the iPhone in 2008. So it's just hugely exciting. There's lots going to be happening, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, Steve. It's going to be very interesting to see, and it is round two. I sometimes wonder if the iPhone still doesn't get overstated. I mean, in terms of actual device sales, it's not going to do that fantastically well compared to, say, S60 as a whole. But I think that's a slight misnomer in some senses. You really need to be comparing it against the top-end N-series devices. And there it's probably a closer battle. But at the same time, I do think that Nokia play across a broader portfolio and a broader part of the market is actually going to be key to its success, and actually going to give it a killer advantage, simply because it's going to be a bigger platform and will remain that way for some time. Nokia's other advantage is, of course, that it is going to remain technically ahead for the foreseeable future, just because it has the experience and the depth in terms of research and development. I don't doubt that Apple will come back, but they just don't know mobile as well, and it will take them a few years to catch up. And I'm talking about things like GPS and the multi-megapixel cameras, and the level of integration that Nokia achieved with the N95 is incredibly impressive. And I mean, the iPhone is, as we all know, quite a long way behind that. So, I mean, the iPhone's been built up so much by the popular press that I sometimes wonder if, you know, it gets given more attention than it really deserves. On the other hand, I think what it is fair to say, especially with regards to 2008, is iPhone has created something that is leading the rest of the market in terms of it's causing other manufacturers to look at it and say, we need to be doing things like that. We need to be looking at touch. We need to be looking at the user experience. We need to be looking at the whole package and how things work together. And that's what Apple, I think, are past masters at. What will be interesting to see is with Nokia, with its sort of software and services strategy, is going to potentially offer a lot more than Apple does out of the box. I mean, even now with Nokia Maps, it's a much more sophisticated mapping solution than you get with Google Maps out on the iPhone. And arguably the same could be said of the music, because it has support for something like stereo Bluetooth. And there's more on the way with comes with music and that sort of thing. So, you know, Apple, with tradition, is very strong in music, isn't really ahead of Nokia. If anything, Nokia's ahead. So although, you know, I admire the iPhone greatly in terms of what it's done, and I think it's been absolutely wonderful for public perception, I think it's perhaps that its strength is sometimes overstated. I mean, that may be pushing the point too far, and of course my knee-jerk reaction is to sort of say, with everyone praising the iPhone, let's look at it from the other angle. Of course, the other part of Nokia's strategy is gaming with Engage, and I know that's something that Ewan's been looking very carefully at. Have you got a prediction for 2008 on that, Ewan?
I've got a couple of sort of loose ideas. Let's put the neck out here. 2008 will be the year of mobile gaming.
Well, first, is Engage going to succeed in 2008?
Well, surely first, should Engage launch in 2008 would be the obvious one. But that would be quite evil. Define success, Rafe.
Oh, well, that's a tricky one. Do you think it will sort of gain a certain amount of consciousness among the public? Is it something that people are going to look at a phone and go, ooh, that's got Nokia's Engage on it, that means I'm going to get a good gaming experience with that phone?
No. So the answer to that is no. But the question of how do you define success is actually the relevant one. Nokia are about to basically switch on something in the region of 30 to 40 million gaming-capable handsets. That's more than the number of Sony PlayStation portables out there. It's in the region of Nintendo's DS devices, which I think are about 45 or 50 million worldwide sales in total. They have the volume. Okay, that's the first thing.
And we can expect another 40 million or so this year, probably.
But I think they're actually projecting 80 million. I have to dig out my notes. I think it's 40 million going to 120 in total.
Obviously depends on what's Engage compatible. I'm assuming N-series there.
You have to assume at some point every N-series device back to the N73 will be switched on as they stage the rollout. The problem is twofold. The first one is the gaming industry press, and the second is the people who write the games, the development houses. Let's take those in turn, starting off with the gaming press. Nokia did not have the greatest reputation with the press. They'd spent most of 2007 getting them back on site, and it was happening slowly, but the last 6 weeks of 2007, we're going to go after the holidays, whatever goodwill they built up in 2007, that ate up quite a lot of it. So I think that when Engage does come out, the press are not going to be predisposed to be super nice to it, and this is a horrible thing to say, but unless Nokia start buying a huge amount of advertising in gaming magazines, they'll get trashed in the popular press. Now, of course, Nokia aren't going down that route. They're not going down the popular gaming. They're going this is not a handheld console. This is a mobile phone that plays games and has a gaming experience. The problem, of course, is that they're going to be wanting top-tier titles. They're going to be wanting to bring back things like The Sims. They're going to want to bring back things like FIFA World Cup. You know, houses like Electronic Arts, like Sega, like Codemasters were all involved in the first Engage and got reasonably burned. Nokia's going to want to bring them back on board as well. But when they go to a magazine, we've got this great version of FIFA 08, and it runs on the DS and the PSP. And then they might also mention that, it runs on that Nokia thing as well. So I think that to convince these big development houses to code for them, they need to show that there's a lot of people playing and that there's a lot of goodwill to those programs that appear on the device. They'll struggle to get that. It is a chicken and the egg situation, and they can't get into that loop at any point without such a huge market spend and such a change of ethos that they're going to have to take the underdog route again. And that is going to make it incredibly difficult building up on a device-by-device basis, using the fan bases of N95, N81, and N95 8-gig users. And what's the first thing they do? Oh, only the N81 people are getting it. Sorry, Nokia are dropping the ball here. I think they can recover it. But I think mobile gaming will happen in spite of the Engage, not because of the Engage. I think we'll see a lot more Java games come out. Chrissy and I have been reviewing some of those recently from the big houses, titles like Tomb Raider, titles like Championship Manager, which is due in the CMS very shortly. I think that is where the gaming is going to come from. I don't see the Engage being a huge critical hit, and because of that, I think it's going to struggle to gain mass market acceptance.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, just as a sort of counterpoint to that, does it necessarily matter with the gaming press? I mean, you said it matters for the industry, but if these if this N-Gage is on every handset anyway, people are going to start using it regardless, and they've got quite a nice lineup of games initially, and so they could build quite a bit of, if you like, grassroots momentum just from that. And might that not carry them through into sort of 2009 and sort of give them a bit more? And after all, you know, the big games houses, they know the gaming press is as fickle as anybody, and they can see the numbers behind N-Gage. You know, a company like Nokia, they might go, well, we're going to go for it, even if, you know, it's not necessarily getting the critical reception. And until the games come out and we start seeing it, you know, we can't really make that judgment in some senses anyway.
Yeah, I think that's fair, that we have to wait and see the titles. But let's remember, these titles will come out of budgeting and programming markets from previous years, from 2006 and 2007. The games industry at the moment is very, very precarious in terms of budgets and finances. They can't afford to have clunkers. The development cost on N-Gage titles, I will put it at par as being equivalent to the DS, Nintendo DS. So on the orders of hundreds of thousands to possibly a million or two. That's, you know, for the smaller software houses that Nokia are going to be relying on, people like Redlinks, for example, that's a significant investment. Will the big houses know how fickle the gaming press is? Well, no, because the big houses have the gaming press in their pocket, as witnessed by one of the reviewers from one of the popular game reviews websites being fired for giving a recent game, Kane and Lynch, a poor review. Obviously, that's all allegedly, but we can all look at what's going on there. To have a big budget, a house commit one of their flagship brands, FIFA or The Sims, to the N-Gage, and they get critically panned, no, they're not going to want to take that chance. So there'll be some initial titles from all those big ones, and then really Nokia have to be 110% on top of everything, and at the moment they're running it, my guess, about 75%.
Can I raise up a small point here, that we've been talking about there being a possible market of 30, 40, 50 million existing N-series compatible handsets. Only a small fraction of those will actually know about N-Gage or have access to it. Only with very recent firmware upgrades, and how many people actually do firmware upgrades in the wider scheme of things, and how many people have the very recent Nokia N95 8GB or the N82 and have an N-Gage icon actually on their screen. So although there's a potential market of 30, 40, 50 million, only a fairly small fraction of those will actually even know about the N-Gage platform and be trying games from day one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got some comparable numbers here from the uptake in the Nokia's music store, Steve, okay. from Nokia World. Basically, of all the handsets that are capable of accessing the music store, one in five of them used it on that, the PC. That, you know, and of that, one in four of those numbers, so one in 20 in total, actually used it on the handset. So if we take that as a ballpark number, we're talking about 1.5 million for the N-Gage.
But I think what's interesting about, Steve's absolutely right, it's the icon thing, and personally I think what's going to really drive it is having the N-Gage icon on the 20 or 40 million handsets that N2s are going to sell this year. And if you assume similar to the music store, that's still going to be significant numbers. But I think part of the sort of the installed user base stuff that we hear about is spin for the time being. So that's sort of done gaming quite effectively. Just before we sort of wrap up the day, we've got two things left I just want to cover. So the N-Series more generally, how do you think they're going to do in 2007, Steve? I mean, they had their breakout year was, sorry, in 2008. Their breakout year was 2007. We really saw the brand emerge in some devices led by the N95. What do you think they need to do to build on that into 2008? Are we going to see more devices, you know? Sorry, it's rather a broad area, but just... It's obviously the big play for Nokia in terms of consumers.
It's interesting that this is all happening at the exact month that they're transitioning from having three separate phone divisions to one. So in theory, the N and E series could both disappear altogether in terms of naming. In practice, I don't think they will, because there is a bit of a brand that's built up now, and people know that a Nokia N series is liable to be higher end than the numbered models. And I know, as people like Chris has pointed out on our site, that doesn't necessarily follow, but that's the public perception, and I think they'll carry on with that. I think we could quite easily see another three or four or five N-series devices. I know we're going to see another two or three E-series devices, and they're particularly interesting because I still believe that, as with the Americans, that to be a truly smartphone, a QWERTY keyboard does make an awful lot of sense, and it's a matter of finding a way of shoehorning that into a usable form factor where it's not too bulky. The E90 is arguably too large, despite the fact that I love it to bits, sure. And it'll be lovely to see something a bit smaller with a similar QWERTY keyboard.
Sure. Well, actually, we're going to be seeing the second generation of E-series devices coming out in 2008, and I think Nokia got the hardware broadly right last time round, but there was definitely room for improvement, but the software was a bit lacking. So I'd expect to see them build on that in the second generation of E-series, and Nokia is pretty weak in enterprise compared to BlackBerry and Windows Mobile in sort of success stories. I mean, it's still selling several million devices, of course, but 2008 I think we'll see improvement for E-series, which is of course, you know, the enterprise string to N-series. But I agree with you. I think the company reorganization actually is quite interesting because it shows that devices is becoming one thing, and I think it's right that they're integrating that all back in together, and software and services, which we talked about earlier in the podcast, is another part of that company restructuring. So I mean, it could be, I think, very healthy. Whether we'll see the full effect of that in 2008 is maybe more open to debate. So I think one last area that we should just brush on quickly, and we did touch on this earlier in the podcast, is UIQ, Sony Ericsson, Motorola, in terms of actually what we'll see from them. My personal feeling here is that Sony Ericsson may be able to, if they get things right, which is admittedly a big if, but they've got a good chance in 2008 to make a bit of headway if they come out with some nice devices. We've all heard rumours about things like the next generation of the P series, and if they bring in some of the things that Apple brought to the market in terms of finger touch, but combine that with the power at UIQ in terms of software and the software suite that's already available and the technology which Sony Ericsson has in its sort of portfolio, could be very promising. I'd also like to think that we'll see UIQ move down the portfolio a little bit and Sony Ericsson will start using it more extensively. Again, I think that's something that may happen towards the second half of 2008. Of course, the joker in the pack, which Ewan kind of touched on earlier, is Motorola. And I'm sure we're going to see several devices from them. We sort of saw the Z10 that wasn't really a Z10 at the smartphone show. So whether that will actually see the light of day now, I don't know. It may well be that they'll skip straight ahead to something like the Z11, Z12, Z13, whatever it's going to be called. And I'd expect that to pack in a multi-megapixel camera and GPS and be a proper competitor, at least in hardware terms, for the N-series. Whether they'll have the sort of surrounding things to truly compete with the likes of the N95, I don't know. But certainly competing with N-series, in at least in theory. And Motorola, at the end of the day, it's a big company and they have a lot of strength there, particularly as Ewan noted, in the American market. So I think UIQ can make something of a comeback in 2008 based on the stuff that happened in 2007. I do think it's perhaps a more dicey proposition, and this is the last chance they've got to get it right, but it would be a very healthy thing both for consumers, in that it would promote more competition, and for Symbian, as it would balance out some of the influence that Nokia has, which is very predominant at the moment, simply because they sell so many more devices than any of the other licensees. I don't know if you have any specific predictions or thoughts on that, Ewan.
I do. Are you ready for this one?
Go on, then.
There will be a UIQ Developer Day in Chicago at some point in 2008. There you go.
That's a nice specific prediction. Thank you very much for that, Ewan.
Given that Motorola's head office is in Chicago, I think I'm on pretty solid ground with this one.
Okay, and have you got anything in the device sphere?
In the device, I think we're going to see whatever the next P1 is. P1, P1i, and everything. I think the Walkman phone is going to do surprisingly well, simply because it's a continuation of Sony Ericsson's Walkman line. Places like Carphone Warehouse and the independent mobile phone retailers, certainly UK, are comfortable with that brand, and Walkman is a dead easy sell to somebody who walks in the stores. So in terms of music-enabled smartphones, I think the 960 is going to do very well, and it wouldn't surprise me if it becomes Sony Ericsson's biggest UIQ seller. How about that?
Okay, and what about a Cybershot brand, given that Sony Ericsson has traditionally been strong there and rather had its thunder stolen by the N82? Anything in that area?
Ask me after 3GSM.
Ask you after 3GSM. Okay, so just as a final thought, are you looking forward to what's going to happen in 2008? Is it going to be big? Ewan first?
Is it 2008 going to be big? Yes, it's a leap year. It's going to be one day bigger than 2007.
Right, thank you, Ewan.
Okay, right.
And Steve?
Yeah, every year is always bigger than the last year, and it's always newer and more exciting. I can't be any more specific than that, but I do hope, just echoing what you just said, that Sony Ericsson and Motorola do pull their fingers out and get some real products and some real buzz going around their side of the Symbian OS scheme. We're called All About Symbian as a site, and we really don't want it to be just all about Nokia. So let's hope that side of the equation gets balanced up this year.
Absolutely. So in summary, we're looking forward to breaking and playing with lots of new shiny toys in 2008, be they from Sony Ericsson, Motorola, or Nokia's first touch devices. Well, almost first touch devices.
Or Samsung,
indeed, anybody. And let's face it, we're looking forward to playing with all the competition as well. And of course, we've got Google Android coming in the second half of the year with HTC devices. So it's going to be great to be around the sort of open software platform industry for phones in the next in 2008. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this All About Symbian Insight. As ever, you can send feedback to Rafe at All About Symbian. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Rafe, and goodbye from Ewan and Steve. Are they going to say goodbye, guys?
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks very much, guys, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.